There is something about a mountain. It has been many years since I have climbed a mountain, too many years perhaps. My only recent top of the world experiences are really quite pathetic. Some long walks along the ridge of the Wiltshire Downs, only a few hundred feet above sea level. But even on that small scale, there is something. Perhaps it is about the views over the surrounding landscape. Perhaps it is about the exposure to the elements, or the sense of having left day-to-day things down below, or that sense, perhaps, of physical ascent, alluding to some inward ascent. Perhaps it is any or all of these things that makes being in a high place somehow significant. In such a place, we can feel our smallness in relation to creation. We can feel our vulnerability. And yet, we can also feel strangely free. And this combination of feelings is simultaneously humbling and exhilarating. Today's gospel is one of a large number of mountain stories from the Bible. Over the last few Sundays, we've been hearing from the Sermon on the Mount. Sticking for a moment with the life of Jesus, we can think of the mountain of Jesus' temptation, the mountains to which Jesus withdrew to pray. We can think of Jesus at the Mount of Olives. And mountains loom large too in the Hebrew scriptures. The story of the Transfiguration that we just heard alludes both to Moses' encounter with God on Mount Sinai and to Elijah's encounter with God in the still small voice at Mount Horeb. We heard a portion of the story of Moses at Mount Sinai in our Old Testament reading. There are striking similarities between the two stories. Jesus, like Moses, climbs a mountain with three named companions, and at the top of the mountain, there is a revelation of divine glory. Jesus' shining face recalls Moses' shining face, following his vision of God. And both stories describe the presence of God in a cloud. And yet, there are also significant differences. At Sinai, Moses sees a vision of God, and Moses' face shines from the reflected glory. At the Transfiguration, there is no vision of God the Father, and Jesus' face does not shine from reflected glory, but rather from the glory of the divinity that he shares with the Father, the glory of that divine life, which in Jesus exists in interpenetration with his humanity. At Sinai, the assembled people are given the fearsome command, any who touch the mountain shall be put to death. Whether animal or human being, they shall not live. There is no such command at the Transfiguration. God's love has broken through the barrier between God and people, and the fullness of the divine life is combined in Jesus with the fullness of humanity. At Sinai, the Torah, the teaching, is given to Moses. At the Transfiguration, the Father speaks from the cloud, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus himself is the Word. Jesus himself is the teaching. At the Transfiguration, Jesus is momentarily revealed in his true glory to the three disciples. The Transfiguration is a foretaste of the final coming of the kingdom.